All right. Well, Jim's leaving tomorrow to go to Africa. So I just wanted to pray for him. And then we'll get started. I'll pray anyway. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that your word does not return void, that it accomplishes exactly what you want it to accomplish. And I thank you, Father, as Jim, as he goes to Africa, Father, you just protect him, watch over him, Father, that there would be no harm come to him, Lord, that you would go ahead and even right now as we're praying, just prepare a way for him. Send your angels and Holy Spirit forward to convict people that they need to hear what Jim has to say, the word, Father, especially in the parliament. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Father, that everything he does will be he'll be led by the Spirit. And I'll be able to speak the gospel. He'll be able to speak the word with boldness. And Lord God, that there'd be signs and wonders follow, and that, and you would just do your work, Father, because you've told him to go and they've already arranged everything and all that, Father. But a man always plans his way, but you direct his steps, Lord. So thank you that you direct his steps and everything he does and just bring him back to us safely, Lord. So, because he doesn't want to miss his 50th anniversary of in the ministry thing. So we thank you for that, God. And we thank you that we'll be glad to see him again. And Lord, we just thank you that you take care of the church here in Dallas and Fort Worth, Lord. Just keep causing us to grow, sanctify us, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. This thing is, God is good, even when we don't know it. Right, Raul? He's always good. God's always working. He's always doing good stuff all the time. I'm going to read out of Psalms today, and then some out of the book of John, and maybe some out of Romans. But really, this morning when I woke up, I was just meditating on this, and it was, I don't know, I guess it was the Lord brought it to my mind. But I was thinking about Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I think it's verse 7, he said that, I serve the Lord with my spirit. And that spirit is actually the word pneuma, which is actually the spirit. So it's the spirit, it's the man, that part of you that's born again, that new man you. So when we serve the Lord, we always serve the Lord in the spirit. That's the only way you can serve him. You can't serve him from your soul. Your soul is psuche, which that's the soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your breath. That's your, you know, you. It actually means you. It's you. It's Raul. It's me. It's Alex. This is who you are. But that's not the real you. The real you is your spirit. The real you is the part you don't see. Sometimes you can't feel it. You don't even know it's there. You know, it's just because we live in this world. So I want to read a couple of things, what God does in Psalms chapter 22. I think it's 22. Yeah. Anyway, actually, I'm going to say something. This is Psalms 23, which is a pretty, everybody knows Psalms 23. But anyway, it says, there's a scripture in one of these Psalms, I can't even remember what verse it is, but it said that God, only God can keep a soul alive. So your soul is only alive because of God. That's one of the works he does. He created you in his likeness, in his image. So God can only keep the soul alive. Even that the fact that you're existing right now, that you're sitting in the chair right now, is only because of God. It's not because you're smart or because you drove here or because you're awesome or anything. It's just because God did it. That's one of the works he does. And then in Psalms 23, it says that God restores our soul. And when he restores our soul, it's better than just restoring it back to Adam and Eve. People think that's what we're going back to. We're going to go back to the Garden of Eden, but we're not. It would be way better than that because we're going to heaven.
Amen.
Our life is hid with Christ and God, so it's even better than that. It's not just restoring us back to the original, how Adam was. It'll be better because you'll be just like Jesus. And you won't be able to sin because you'll be like Jesus. Jesus never sinned. So when you get when you see, as a matter of fact, it's already started, but when you see Jesus, you'll see him as he is and you'll be just like him. That means you'll be perfect, but it's because of him. Mm-hmm. It's not because of you. You did a good work or you did something awesome or anything like that. Just because he just loves you. He gives it to you as a gift.
It's amazing.
It's just a free gift. So everything is free in the Bible. Now, in the book of John, it talks about the same thing. It talks about our soul. Now, there's different types of ways, but it's all the same. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, and your soul loves that. And the Bible says that in your flesh dwells no good thing, not even one thing good. So, whatever effort we have, whatever we do as a person doesn't count as anything. But if you do it in the Spirit, by faith, then that's eternal. That's something that God counts it, because you believed. That which is not of faith is sin. So everything you don't do in faith is sin. Everything you do in faith is from God. Now, people think they have faith. There's a soul, this guy wrote this book, and he called it Suke Souffle, that's your flesh, your soul. Suke is your soul. Or you can have a super soul, a soul that is, have you ever met somebody that's real, they're real aggressive and they're real full of themselves and self-assured and they're just awesome and they're just going to get it done. And a lot of religious people are that way. I'm going to be good. I'm going to please God by whatever I do in the ministry or whatever. And that's, he called that a super soul. That's, you're forcing your flesh to be good. Well, that's going to work for, that'll work a little bit. Not in the eyes of God, but it'll work. It'll seem like it's working because they're bold and they're very sure of themselves. But that's what we call the super soul. So your soul is never, your flesh, the part of your soul that's your flesh, is never going to receive the things of God. It's not even able to do it. Now I'm going to read something that Martin Luther wrote. It's just one sentence. It says, the article of justification, that means your justification or your righteousness is totally a gift. Totally. Nothing you did or can do. You can't even believe for it. God just gave it to you for nothing. Because the Father drew you and then you had faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You just heard it and you believed it. So you're justified by faith only. As a matter of fact, that's your only righteousness. There is no other. There is no other righteousness. Even if you did a good work and it was God, that's not your righteousness. Your righteousness is still in Jesus. Because in the next minute you might forget. Which I always do. All of us do. Your righteousness is totally derived from Jesus. It's totally alien from you. You didn't, it's just a free gift. So it's just given to you like that. But it says the article of justification must be sounded in our ears incessantly because the frailty of our flesh will not permit us to take hold of it perfectly and to believe it with all of our hearts. That's just the way it is, because you forget. That's why every day you need to go over the gospel. That's why we encourage you. That's why that's why we've always had the same message from the beginning. It's always been the same message. You're no good. God is good. And he's going to do good in you. He's going to sanctify you, like you said in one of those songs. He's going to chasten us and all that good stuff so that we can become, sanctified in the Lord. And in John, I wrote it down here even, 12, John 12, 24. This is Philip. This is right when the Gentiles, the Greeks, were seeking Jesus. And this is right before he died on the cross. This is right before his passion. This is right before when he bore our sins in his body on the cross. This is right before that. And the Greeks came, which were Gentiles, to seek in Jesus. The first ones. These are the first guys to do it. So when that happened, Then Jesus said, it's my hour has come. Now it's come that Gentiles are seeking after Jesus. And then after that, it was mostly all Gentiles. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is verse 23. It says, verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there he shall be my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this time. Father, glorify thy name. So Jesus was saying something about our life. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Even though you're born again and you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, sometimes we don't remember that, or we can't feel it, or we can't grasp it exactly perfectly or the way we want to because of our flesh. So every day we have to go over that to remember who you are in Christ, to remember who you are, because you forget. I mean, it's almost instantly you forget. So that's why you have to hear it every single day. You have to hear it incessantly, like Luther said. You have to hear it over and over, because your flesh will not grasp it. As a matter of fact, your flesh is enmity against God. It will not submit to God. It's not even able to do so. In Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about, he goes, gosh, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I hate, you know, the sin I do, that's what I do. And he said, then at the end of the chapter, you got to keep reading, because then it keeps getting worse and worse. And Paul seems like he's just, man, that guy's no good. He's not even a good apostle, because he's still struggling with stuff. So then at the end it says, well, who's going to set me free from this body of sin? Because sin comes from your body. Sin comes from your flesh. Sin comes from you, the you that needs to die. And he said, thank God through Jesus Christ. So God just gave me a free gift for nothing. He gave me peace, 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 peace that passes all understanding. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. He gave me love. He gave me everything that I needed in this to live in this life and in this world. And all I have to do is be like you talked about a grain of mustard. If a seed doesn't fall into the ground and die, then it just abides alone. So if your soul is still alive in this world, your mind, your will, and your emotions, if it's still going, if it's still alive, it's still producing bad fruit, make a tree good, then the fruit will be good. Tree bad, the fruit will be bad. So when you're dead, then your life is hid with Christ and God, then you'll bear fruit. You can't help it because of Jesus. Even if you don't want to, you're going to, because Jesus lives in you and he'll get it done. He has his Ways and Means Committee where he gets your soul. He gets your soul, your psuche. He gets it going. And he kills the part that's not of him, and he keeps the other part because he restores your soul. And how he restores it, when you restore something, you have to get rid of all the old junk. When you do remodel on a house, what's the first thing you do? You demo. You just got to demo everything. You got to take out all the old rotten wood. You got to take out all the old outdated tile. I'm just talking from experience. You got to take out the old plumbing, the old electrical. This is what we did at our house a lot. And you guys got to get rid of all the old stuff because it's no good. It's just trash. And that's what God does. Jesus is in us to will and to his good pleasure, but he has a rod. In Psalms 23, it says he has a rod, and he has a staff. He has a rod to correct you, then he has a staff to comfort you, to lead you, to guide you into green pastures, beside still waters, and all those things. Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And all you got to do to get peace is nothing. All you got to do to get love is nothing. All you got to do is to do this process is to do nothing, because you can do nothing and you will never do anything. Jesus does everything. Everything Jesus does it. And he will do this process, this thing we call sanctification. He does it for us. It's already done, actually. But we're still going through the process, because it's not. When Jesus died on the cross, he just solidified everything the Father already did from the foundations of the world. So it's already done. So everything God did is already done. All the works, only God, only God. It even says, you can read it in Psalms, you can read it all over the Bible, but in Psalms especially, it talks about God's works. Only God does wondrous works. So, Willis, whatever God did in your life, he did it. You didn't do it because you were not able, capable. The best we can do is sin. That's the best a man can do. Man at his best state is vanity, and vanity is a sin. So the best man can do is sin. And if you know that and you take the free gift, then you're happy. I'm telling you. You'll be just like that prostitute that anointed Jesus' feet. And she goes, and Jesus said, man, her sins are many. And she was a rank sinner. She knew it, of course. That's why she was so in love. When you were like that, you're in love with Jesus. Man, God, you forgave me. I didn't even, you know, do anything. I wasn't even thankful. I'm not even thankful all the time or worshipful or whatever. I'm in the flesh a lot. So that's why I read the Word and pray and just seek the Lord, because I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Nothing. Amen. Nothing. And I'm okay with that, because God is. He's not saying, Danny, straighten up, or Danny, get your act together, or force your flesh to be good, or suppress your flesh, or do anything like that. He didn't tell me to do it. He never says that. I never heard God say it to me once, ever. He said, I'll take care of that. I got you. Just come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And then he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That's a good deal. Now I don't have to do anything, because all the work is already done. The process is already being processed because Jesus is doing it. And then one day he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So that gives me peace. Peace that passes all understanding. And that's what the world wants. They want peace. They want joy. They want all these things. And they're trying to find it by different ways. By a relationship with another person, which is worthless. That's not going to work. Even if you had a great husband or a great wife, a great family and all that stuff, it doesn't help. You can still be depressed. People are. People I know that are really have really neat families, and they kind of have a really neat situation. They have plenty of money and all that kind of stuff, but that will not lead to happiness or to peace that passes on. It's just a gift. Jesus just gave it to you for nothing. Just take it. I take it every morning. So God, here's what I want today. I want peace. I want joy unspeakable and full of God. I want to be happy. I want joy. I want da-da-da-da-da. Those are my prayers every morning. And then all I got to do is not look, not be anxious about my life. Because what is your life? It's just a vapor. It passed away. We just had a funeral a couple weeks ago. Leah's dad passed away. He was 95. Wow. And it was glorious, wasn't it, Leah? She has five brothers and sisters. They all came down. A few of them live in town, but some of them came from Arizona and Missouri and different places, and came and from Amarillo. And it was awesome. It took them like 5 days. He was in hospice. It took like 5 days. Wasn't it 5 days? Something like that. Anyway, they got to spend so much time. They would get there like at 8 a.m, some of them, and they would just begin to pray and read the Bible to him, and they'd sing. He loved hymns, so they sang hymns to him. And it was just a glorious, glorious, glorious time. And I know that Leah was really blessed by it, because all of her brothers and sisters are Christians, and her mom is, and she was there also, and they just had an awesome time. Because they knew that Lloyd was, that's her dad's name, was Lloyd, he was fine. I mean, he loved Jesus, and he was okay. He's 95, and that's a pretty good life. I mean, you know, and he had great kids. And he had When he passed away, when he took his last breath, all of them were right there on by his bedside, wow, praying and singing. And I, what a way! That's awesome. That's the way I'd like to go. So it was good. It turned out to be good because death has no victory. Death has no sting for us. There's no sting in death.
That's right.
Because the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We're not under the law, and Jesus took away all of our sins. He bore them in his body on the cross. Do you know that? That you are pure, holy. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So sin is not going to have dominion over you. Everybody say it. Sin does not have dominion over
me.
Because you're not under the law, but under grace. If you were under a law, then of course you would have sin. But Willis has no law. There's no law. Even Paul wrote to Timothy, said, look, the law is not made for a righteous man. Well, Willis is righteous. But you don't have a law. God's not putting any obligation on him. He's not putting any stress on him or anything. He just said, you just got to be led by the Spirit. That's what God wants to do. Those that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. And you are led by it. The Bible says the Spirit lives in you. Don't you know? Paul's encouraging him, the Romans. He's saying, don't you know it? The Spirit of God lives in you. So don't go back. You know, in Galatians says, don't go back to the law. You begin in the Spirit. You're going to be made perfect in the flesh. You're going to be made perfect by keeping the law. You're going to be made perfect by being a good person. You're not. You just got to be led by the Spirit. You got to ask God every day. Go over the gospel. Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's a gift. Oh, yeah, everything's a gift. Okay, God, I cast all my cares on you. Everything, I pray about everything. Everything. No matter how minute it is, no matter how you think it's insignificant in your life, it's not. You better pray. Because that little insignificant thing in your life will turn out to eat your lunch. It'll be awful. You have to pray about everything. I pray about my schedule. My job schedule. I pray for all my kids. This is looking at this takes up about 2 hours of my prayer time praying for my kids because I got a lot of kids. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you just pray for about everything. Even when I'm going to a job, I'll say, God, do you prepare a way for me? I thank you that my schedule will work out because it's always a disaster. It changes from day to day. Just like it did in Uganda. You just have to pray, God, you got to do this because I don't have any skill to, I don't have any set thing, you know, you got to do it because it's crazy. You pray for your finances, pray for your health, pray about everything. That way you don't have to worry about it. Once you pray about it, don't worry about it. Cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Then you don't have to stress over it or worry about it. And that's how you get rid of all your worries. You give them all to God because he takes care of all this stuff. He's the only one that can do it anyway. He's the only one that can do it anyway. He's the only one that does wondrous works.
Hallelujah.
If you could do a good work, then you wouldn't need Jesus. Jesus died in vain. That means his cross, you make his cross of no effect in your life when you are doing a good work. It sounds harsh, but it's true. So if you are justified or you are sanctified, or you were glorified by a work you did, then God's not God. Then you're God. You could be God. If you could do one thing in the law, like let's say thou shalt not kill, if you could do that one law in your flesh, then Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. That means you could do it. Somebody could do it besides Jesus. But since that's not possible, we broke that command. We broke every commandment. Then Jesus does everything. Jesus does signs and wonders. That's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. And it follows the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. When the gospel is preached, if you read the epistles, it's just in the book of Acts, Jesus, everything is good news. It's all good news. It's all good news. So all those signs and wonders people are seeking after, they won't get them. Because they're seeking the sign and the wonder. But if you seek Jesus, first the kingdom of God, you seek his righteousness, you seek God, then you'll get signs and wonders. You'll get health, you'll get prosperity, you'll get joy unspeakable and full of glory. It doesn't mean you won't have trouble, you'll always have trouble. You'll have everything provided for you. But the thing is, people always seek God's stuff. Mm-hmm. Seeking first the kingdom of God is not seeking God's stuff. Because God has a lot of stuff. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He owns the world. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Willis is God's. His business is God's business. His wife is God's. Everything's God. God owns everything. So that's why in the end, God will judge everybody according to his son. That's why we're making it. That's why when I get to heaven, I'm at the being judged. They'll look at me or you, and they'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What? Because Jesus did it all. He already did it from the foundations of the world. He already did everything. Every work's already done. So that's why the Bible says, "Enter into his rest." It doesn't say enter into his labor. Enter into do the best you can. Enter into, you know, working, serving the Lord or something. It doesn't say that. It says enter into his rest. Because you're a son.
Amen.
You're not a servant. You're a son. Because you're a son, then all God wants is you to be led by the Spirit. And your obedience is just based on faith. Because you don't actively do anything. You're just waiting on God. And when God tells you to do something, you do it. Every day. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. But you just do it by faith. It's not even a work. It's not even a work. It's just you're doing it by faith. Thank you, Jesus. And you worship God every morning. You pray. You seek the Lord with all your heart. You read your Bible. You love your wife as Christ loved the church. You do all those things. But you're just doing it by faith. Because you might not feel it. You might have one of those days where you don't have a lot of... Sometimes I wake up and I just don't have any... I don't know. Nothing. I'm sure you all do that too. You just wake up and you're like, "Golly, Lord, no. Just not feeling it today." A lot of people say that. But that's nothing. That's just a feeling. Feelings are nothing. Your soul, your psuche, your soul is being restored by God. But it's actually dying. So his life, the life you now live, the now life you live, right now, the life you live is you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for you. So it's his faith. He gives it to you as a gift. He has every man a marriage of faith. Everybody in this room has faith. Everybody. I can't say Jack doesn't have any faith or Raul doesn't have any faith. No. The Bible says don't do that. He's given every man a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Like, I have faith and you guys don't, or you have faith and I don't, or just because people have different personalities and different things going on in life doesn't mean anything. Everybody has a measure of faith. Everybody. So, because of that, God's given you a gift. A ministry gift. A gift to be a wife. A gift to be a husband. A gift to be a father, a mother. He's given you a gift to be a pastor, a gift to whatever gift you're called into. God's given you all that. It's just a free gift. Nothing you did to earn it. You can't go to school and figure it out. You can't do anything. It's just a gift from God. Everything, literally everything is a gift. The sun, the world, the air we breathe, everything's a gift from God. And everything's his work. If you would just meditate on the Psalms, you could just do Psalms day and night, you'd see that God is in control of everything, does everything, and he does all the work. He does everything for you, and in you and through you, so that you don't have to sweat. Because he knows the weakness of your flesh. If you're a sin suppressor, for instance, and you don't just confess your sin readily to God, and you suppress it all the time, then you'll be anxious and sick, and you have all kinds of problems. If you're a person that expresses your sin, well, that's a little better. Except you could die from that too. If you're a sin, like before I was a Christian, I was more of a sin expressor. I didn't suppress a lot of my sin. I expressed it, but it was killing me. So either way, it kills you. If you're a religious person, it kills you. If you're sin just That's why God hates sin. He doesn't hate sin because he's judgmental, because he's so holy or something. He hates sin because it will never lead to life. It never leads to life. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I notice that people that, like my neighbors, you know, that they sometimes they have wild parties and stuff, and there's a lot of booze and alcohol and stuff like that. And, you know, when you wake up the next morning or whatever, even at night, you're depressed because it's only a temporary thing.
You feel bad.
And then you feel bad, you got a hangover. And so sin never leads to happiness, ever. Never will, never has. Let me turn to Romans 1:9. You know, show you what I was talking about. Let me read a little bit. Okay, Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. The gospel is everything. The gospel is good news. The gospel is why Jesus died on the cross. The gospel is what Paul preached, Peter preached. Remember in Galatians they had this big to-do about Peter would dissembled from the Gentiles, and Paul had to rebuke him because he didn't walk according to the gospel. So you have to walk according to the good news. The good news is Jesus died for you, took away all your sins. That's the first thing he did. He just eliminates that problem right away. So now you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have peace and joy, unspeakable and all and full of glory. And all. Then God begins to work on. Then the working on your flesh to kill your flesh every day is no big deal because I already have righteousness. I'm not. You know, being sanctified so that I'll be a good person, I'll be moral, or so I'll be religious, or so that I can go to heaven someday. It has nothing to do with it. That's just part of God's plan, his eternity. That's part of us being salt and light. So if you're salt and light, it's because you've been sanctified. Amen. You've been not only born again, but you've been killed. You've been eliminated. Your flesh has been killed. And so you can be, then you're salt and light. Before that, you're not. You're just a Christian. You're just born again. But you're not salt and light yet. I mean, you are potentially, or you are, really you are. But it's just not evident that you are. When I first became a Christian, it probably wasn't too evident to my family. They knew something happened to me weird, and that I was an idiot. Which was, you know, pretty much true, but it wasn't evident that I was a Christian because I still, you know, you still have old habits and old things that you have to die to. So it's not real. It's not evident sometimes when people get saved. Some people you don't even know. I'll ask my wife, "Do you think that? You know, I've known that person for a long time. They say they're a Christian, or you think they're a Christian? No, you don't know because there's no evidence. There's no, you know, they're not being sanctified." I guess. I don't know. But all I know is God does that work, and it's all by faith. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. When Cain and Abel did their sacrifices, Abel's sacrifice was acceptable because of faith, not because it was a better lamb or a better physical thing. It had nothing to do with the physical thing that he sacrificed. It had all to do with faith. You can read it in Hebrews 11. So everything is acceptable to God is done by faith. Everything else is not acceptable. It's not. I don't care how good of a work you do. I don't care if you led somebody to the Lord. It's not acceptable except it's done by faith. It's without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that he is and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you do something in faith, then it's accepted. That's the salt on the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, whenever they did a sacrifice, they'd put salt on it, and it made it acceptable. Well, you know, just like us. So when you have salt on food, it always tastes better. Right? Everybody say yes, it does taste better. Because it does taste better with salt on it. Not too much, but a little salt always makes things taste a little better. So that's the same with our faith. If we have faith, then we please God. If you don't have faith, and you can't produce it, you can't produce faith. It's not a quality of your soul. It's not something you produce. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. So everybody here pleases God. Everybody. Because you have faith. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't have some sort of faith. So the fact that you're here, hearing the Word of God, then you have faith, and that pleases God. So everything we're talking about today, the sanctifying of your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, is all controlled by the fact that you've already been born again. You're a new creation. That means your spirit man, that inner man, which is inside, is perfect because it's Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you is not going to sin. The Bible says that nothing in your flesh is good, and then that's for sin. Paul says it's no longer I that do it. My inward man, my Jesus in me man. Now it's the sin that dwells in me. That's what's doing all the bad stuff. That's what he said it twice in Romans chapter 7. He said, it's the body. How am I going to be delivered from this body of sin? It says, thank God through Jesus Christ. So God takes care of it. So once he said that, once he was describing his life in the flesh, then he said, oh yeah, but thank God through Jesus Christ, who always gives us the victory every day. Thanks be to God, who we always triumph every day in Jesus. To those that are perishing, we're a smell of death unto death. And to those that are alive, those that are born again, we're a spirit of life unto life. So that's just the way it is. And everything else in our flesh is dead because of what Jesus did. It's already dead. It's not going to produce life. All that's in our flesh, all that's in your flesh, is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's it. That's all you got going for you. That's the best you can do. Sorry. I tell you that's the best you can do. Well, it's the best I can do. So that's all you can do. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, we have the victory over sin, death, hell, the grave, the law. We have victory over everything. Praise and God. When Lloyd passed away, you know, he gained. Amen. Even death itself has no victory. Even if you died today on the way home, you got in a crash, which would be tragic for all of us, but it would be great for you because it would be gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So whatever that means, it means that you gain something.
You've already won.
Yeah. But you've already gained everything. It doesn't matter. Paul said it doesn't matter if I'm alive or dead. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And it also says, you know, what does it matter? If I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. So there's no difference if you're in heaven or here. But God leaves you here because he's doing a work. Because the world needs to see that that God is a real God. And he's going to use regular folk like us so that people will see your good works. And they'll go, wow, there must be a God, because I don't think Alice could do a good work if there wasn't a real God, right? Me too. It says that about all of us. It says, look, if I could do a good work, then I wouldn't need God. I'm just being serious about that. If you could do something good, anything, just one little iota of something, then you wouldn't need God. Because then you could do it. You understand what I'm saying? If there was a law given that could have given life, then righteousness would have come by the law. But there is no law that gives life. It just exposes your sin. That's all it does. Now, through Christ Jesus, all the law is just a promise. So everything in the Bible, I always write down everything I reading the Bible, all in my margin, I always put down, oh, that's a promise. I never say, oh, that's a law. I better do that. I never do that because I always, when I read it, it's already automatic. I can't do that. God, love Christ. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. Well, that's a little difficult. And if you're a man in here, you know it is, right? Raul, it's hard. Oh, you're saying, oh, yeah. Because she's sitting right there next to you. It's easy for me because my wife is awesome. That's really good. I like that. No, that's easy, Dan. I don't know what you're talking about. That was awesome. That's a good answer, too, because it's by faith. So we do that. And it makes your life so much easier, so more, much peace, so much joy, so much anxiety is gone, so much stress is gone because you just given everything to Jesus. Pray about everything. And by faith, just say, God, you know, this is my schedule this week or today. Usually for me, it's today. This is my schedule. I can't be at two or three different places at once. So you're going to have to work it out. And he does every time. It's a miracle. I just can't believe every day. Then at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, how'd that work out? I don't even know how that worked out. That was awesome. So everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, you don't understand it. Don't try to understand peace. Just take it. Do not try to understand God. See, people want to understand God, his nature. I wonder what God's like. Hey, how you doing, Julia? Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Everybody wants to know God's nature, what he's like, but you'll never know that. Just read the Bible. Just believe his promises. Because God is infinite. He's past figuring out. You're not going to figure God out. Ever. Never. You just won't figure him out. Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we're not going to figure him out. Totally. You can know about God. You can know his salvation, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, having gifts and doing all that stuff. But still, it's going to be, even Paul was limited, even though he wrote the New Testament. Moses and David and Abraham, they're just limited because they're just people, just like us. Mary, Joseph, the disciples, Paul and Peter, all of them, they're just all people, just like us, just regular folk. And they just believe God. That's it. Samson. And, you know, and all of them were scoundrels. They all committed adultery. They all did a bunch of evil things. But God loved them. And he changed them. He sanctified them. He gave them faith. And they'd say, please God. Everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 pleased God because of their faith. Not because they were good. Not because they were anything. They just were dead. And they let God do it. So God, first he keeps your soul. He restores your soul. He keeps you alive. That's why God keeps you alive. Because he wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be everything that he's called you to be. So you be a witness to this world. Because in this world needs real Christians. But they're very rare. You hardly ever see them. Because they're all doing good works. A better way to be moral. A better way to do good works. A better way to... I mean, the world does all that stuff. That's fine. I'm not against it at all. I kind of like moral people because it makes my life easier when people are moral. They don't steal from me or whatever. But it's not eternal life. It doesn't help. It helps the world some. But it doesn't help. It just keeps us alive, basically. But it doesn't, it's not good for eternal life. Eternal life is only based on faith and a promise that Jesus did it and you don't have to do it. Sounds cheap. It sounds almost just crazy, but it's true. Amen. And you get everything just for that one moment, 35 years ago, whatever it was, when I gave my life to the Lord, my whole life changed in an instant. And I didn't even know anything about it. Didn't have a clue. As a matter of fact, the guy I was witnessing to him, I asked him all kinds of questions like, well, what do you do? That's all I kept asking, what do you do? Because I was Catholic, so I wanted to do something. Well, what do I got to do? Do I have to read my Bible? Do I have to go to Mass? Do I have to go see the priest? Do I have to pay some money? I was even talking about money. That would have been difficult because I didn't have a lot of money. But anyway, and he just said, well, finally, after a few weeks, and plus he gave me a Bible and I read it. And then he said, and I still didn't figure it out. That's how ignorant I was. But he said, well, let's just pray. I said, well, I could do that. So we went and prayed, and man, then it was all over. It was awesome. And then a few months later, so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got baptized in water and did all the things that Christians do when they get people, when they get born again. And I tell you, every step of the way was life-changing. Because when you grow up the way I did, first legalism, you know, I was a good Catholic boy for, I don't know, probably till I got in junior high. Then I went totally the opposite way. I was totally wretched. And then I was a good candidate. Because not only was I half my life was religious, and the other half was just a total pagan. Then it was easy. Because I knew those two ways don't work. That religious way is not going to work. But that pagan way is not going to work either. Either way I go, I couldn't get it. Just it didn't lead to life and life abundant. Then if I met Jesus, man, that was different. That had nothing to do with religion. It had nothing to do with me doing a good work. I could do that. And you are like that too. So I mean, Christianity works for people. It worked for anybody. The reason why is because you don't have to do anything. If you had to do something, then it wouldn't work. I couldn't even go to Mass consistently. I couldn't even take communion consistently. A good Catholic should. I couldn't do anything. The simplest things I couldn't do. Nothing. I just couldn't do it. And I used to admire people that were like Martin Luther, you know, before he became a Protestant, found out about faith and justification by faith. That's impressive, all the stuff he did. My mom was impressive. You know, she went to at the convent. She did a lot of good works, and she did a lot of, you know, she was about ready to become a nun. You know, make her final vows. There's different stages of being a nun. But she was making her final vows, and she got sick, and she couldn't do it, which is good for me, because then she got married and had kids. But, you know, you just can't do enough to please God. He's just not pleasable, except by faith. Faith pleases God, because you believe His promise, He loves it. Don't do any work. Don't sweat. Don't strive. Don't, you know, do this or do that. Just trust me. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who has God, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as his God. God doesn't take pleasure in the legs of men. That means no strength. He doesn't take any pleasure in the strength of men. Pastor Jim, anybody. He doesn't take pleasure in horses, all the things men invent. God laughs at all that. You know, everything's so impressive to us, the computers and, you know, all this new technology coming out and everything. It's very impressive. But it's nothing. It'll end up being nothing. All that man does is vain. It's just vain. It will end up being nothing. All the medical technology they have now, people live a little bit longer, but there's, you know, it's sometimes it's awful. You know, so it's just nothing. Nothing's going to help except for Jesus, the gospel. The gospel will never change. It never has. Since Adam. Right away, God preached the gospel to Adam and Eve. Right away. Just happened to Cain and Abel, and everybody just got the gospel right away. It's always been the same. God loves you, He forgives you, He's merciful, He's kind, He's slow to anger, He's gentle, He sent His Son to die for your sins. So because of that, you have eternal life. It's always been the same. It's never changed. He preached the gospel to Abraham 430 years before the law even came. The law was just added to show people how bad they were. And you can read that in Galatians and Romans, and you can read it all over the place. The law entered in so that sin might be exceedingly sinful. So that gives me hope. Because I'm not a disciplined person. I'm not a religious person. I never could keep the rules or anything. So I actually needed God. And that's what makes my life so grand and so peaceful and so joyful and so restful, is that I don't have any law. I even say that every morning. I go, God, thank you that I don't have to live up to any expectations today. I don't have to be anything. Man, it gives me peace because now I'm not striving. I'm not trying to be a good husband. I'm not trying to be a good dad. I'm not trying to be anything. If God doesn't do it, He does. I'm testing Him because He's the one on trial, not me. Do you know that? Everybody thinks that God's testing you or something, but He's really not. He's testing Himself, how faithful He is. You're not faithful. He's faithful. Because He's faithful, He'll do it. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why I don't care what sin I do, how bad, awful thought I have, I always go right to Jesus. Right, walk right into the throne room. Like there's Jesus, I just walk right up to Him. Yeah, I did that, Lord. It was evil and wicked and demonic. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But we like to clean up before we go into the throne, which is a waste of time. God won't even accept it. If you clean up before you go into the throne of grace, then you've missed it. You won't even be acceptable because you're self-righteous, because you're cleaning yourself up. You can't clean yourself up. You can't help yourself. You are totally helpless. But Jesus, that's different. He does everything. So that's why you can have peace that passes all understanding. Remember when Jesus came, He said that there's peace on earth, goodwill towards men. As soon as Jesus was born, but it was already there. It's just that it was affected at that time. When Jesus came, died on the cross, then people could have eternal life. They already did, because He died from the foundations of the world. But then you have peace. Now the world, peace, where there is no peace in the world. All there is war and rumors of wars and fighting and all kinds of stuff. But in the church, it should be different. We should have peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Always goodwill towards men. Doesn't matter who they are. Anybody, Democrats, Republicans, Muslims, Hindus, there's peace on earth. And that's what we announce. Hey, God's not mad. God's not wanting you to keep the law. You don't have to do that. You don't have to... You know, I sat on a plane with this fellow, and he was a Muslim, I guess. I never asked him, but we were talking and stuff. But he was nervous because we were talking, and I was interrupting his prayer thing. So I'm just talking to him, and then he was nervous. You know, he was nervous to do it. So when you're under a law, you're nervous because you have to do it exactly right. You have to do it from the heart. You have to do it perfect. It has to be done perfect. Otherwise, it doesn't count. It doesn't count with God. If you're going to keep a law, now Jesus did. He kept it perfect. He never deviated from the law. And He always did what the Father did. And He always said what the Father said. So He kept it perfect. But as a person, a regular person, sinner, you just can't do it. And if you're a religious person, you're sad. It would be better if you were a sinner. It'd be better. Righteous people, you know, that are self-righteous, it'd be better to be a sinner. Because a self-righteous person will not repent. Even Jesus tried, He exposed the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. He was exposing them, all the Jews. It's always exposing them, and they never got it. And, you know, they just never got it. Maybe Nicodemus and a few of them did, but some of them didn't realize. They even called other people sinners. Remember, the Pharisee goes, boy, Jesus must not be a prophet, because he let a sinner touch Him. You know, when she was anointing Him with oil and all that. So So they didn't think they were even sinners. So they couldn't come to Jesus. People that are good, are righteous, are religious, they will never, ever, ever come to Jesus. Because they can't. Because they got to be good. I'm better than that. At least I'm not a bum. Or at least I'm not like Raul. I mean, I might be bad. So we always compare ourselves among ourselves, which isn't wise. But anyway, that's the thing that we talked about today was soul. Soul and spirit. You're led of the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit because you're a Christian. So believe it by faith. So if you believe you're in the Spirit already because you're a Christian, you have been born again, you're a new creation, you're already in the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit. And because Paul said, he goes, don't you know that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you? Unless you be a reprobate. But you're not a reprobate. He was encouraging them to walk in the Spirit, to believe God, to trust Him, to put your hope in Him. Put your life in His hands, and you can walk in the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If you try not to walk in the flesh, you will walk in the flesh. If you try to be good, you won't be good. You will sin all over the place. If not outwardly, then inwardly. You know, it just won't work. You got to just come clean with God as a Christian. You just come clean. God, I lusted there. I did this there. I hated that person. I despised them because they were, you know, weren't dressed right or because they had a, you know, whatever. And people do that all the time. We do it all the time. We make judgments about people that we don't even know. You know, we do all kinds of stuff. But it's okay. God's not alarmed at that. That's normal flesh behavior. You just got to come clean. God, forgive me. I did this, this, and this, and this. But thank God that I'm forgiven. And then He not only cleanses you from all unrighteousness, He empowers you by the Holy Spirit to actually do good, a good work, to actually love somebody, to actually be a benefit to this world. Because He loads us daily. And you got to do it by faith. It says, every morning when you wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for loading me with benefits. I got all the benefits I need. I have nothing to worry about. You've already prepared this day for me. You've already made a way. You've already did everything. Before I even woke up, You already had my day planned for me. Jesus already walked in my steps. He already lived His life for me. So I'm at peace. I have nothing to worry about. My biggest worry is what kind of coffee I'm going to make or something. I don't know. I don't have a lot of worries. So anyway, God is good.
Amen.
I just pray today that God would reveal this to you, this message, that you don't have to sweat. You've entered into His rest. There's nothing in this world that God hasn't already taken care of. I don't care what you see going on politically, what you see going on, people hating one another, despising one another, killing one another, all those things that are happening in this world. That's normal. That's normal human behavior. And I hate to say that, but it is. Only God is good. Even the rich young ruler who had a lot going for him, he had money, he kept the commandments, he did everything. I remember how shocked the disciples were when he left. And Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? And they go, God, they were like freaking out because they thought, oh my gosh. Then who can be, they even said that, then who can be saved? If that guy's not going to make it, and they didn't realize that it was just sinners. God was just looking for sinners. He wasn't looking for righteous people. He was looking for plain old Jane O sinners, which we are. So, Father, we thank You that You are a great, great God, and that You have always, always loved us, even while we were yet sinners. Jesus died for us. He didn't die for a good man. He didn't die for a kind of a good man, a righteous man. He died for sinners. And He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was us. We were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And Father, I just pray each one here that we would use speed, that we would use that, get as fast as we can to enter into your rest, because there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And thank you, Father God, there's no law there. There's no striving there. There's no evil wickedness there. It's just peace, peace, peace that passes all understanding. And there's joy unspeakable in your presence. God, there's just joy unspeakable and full of glory and pleasures forevermore. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that we have everything we need. Wisdom, we have hope, we have faith. Because you give it, you just gave it to us as a free gift. We didn't even want it. So we just receive it in Jesus' name, just as we are. We come to you just exactly the way we are. And just thank you, Father, that you're taking care of us, that you love us, that Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So all truth is in Jesus, all life is in Jesus, and he's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to the inheritance. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We love you. I pray everyone here would just be blessed today, that they would be loaded, that they would just receive all your benefits, God, today. You load us with benefits, but it's by faith. So we believe it. We thank you for it. I thank you that everyone here is healed in Jesus' name from any physical infirmities. In the name of Jesus, they don't have to earn it. They don't have to work for it. They just receive it as a gift. Everyone here is financially blessed, Father God. If they have any financial needs, I thank you take care of them in Jesus' name. If they have loved ones that are, relationships that are messed up, that are not good, take care of it, Father. And you can do it in Jesus' name. And save all of our loved ones, Father God. Save our enemies. God, we just thank you that the people that hate us, despise us, that want to use us, we just pray for them. And thank you, Father, for blessing them and and speaking to them, that they might be born again through Jesus Christ to eternal life. And Father, we thank you for that. And we thank you once again for taking care of Pastor Jim as he travels to South Sudan. It's a pretty rough area there right now, but we know you'll take care of them. Thank you for sending those big, tall bodyguards, whatever they are, policemen with them so they can watch over them. And make them carry his luggage too, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord.